Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And I'm Eric.
Oh my gosh, two Erics.
What's going on?
Ericception. Oh my gosh. So should this episode, should I say Eric L and Eric S? I don't know.
I think you should just do the audience. I think you should just do Eric.
Okay. I have to guess.
Oh God. I'll say for Eric L, I'll be like, Eric. And for Eric S, I'll be like, Eric. That's totally like going to be clear, right?
Yeah. All right. So this week we're talking about Myst. Myst is a graphic adventure puzzle game. In the game, the player travels via a special book to the island of Myst. There, the player solves puzzles and by doing so, travels to four other worlds known as ages, which reveal the backstory of the game's characters. Spoiler alert, we're going to spoil everything from the story to puzzles in this episode. If you're still planning on starting this game 28 years after its release, I'd recommend not listening to this episode first.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. All right, I'm excited because this game is kind of out there.
Okay. You ready to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's hear about Myst.
Eric, what you got?
The creation of Myst begins in 1990 with two brothers, Rand and Robin Miller, who had begun creating virtual click-and-explore games for children 2 years before and decided they'd like to create a game aimed at adults. They wanted to create a non-linear story with believable characters and for the player to be faced with ethical choices. A game design resembling what would later become Myst was initially pitched to Activision. Yeah, that one. With the working title, The Gray Summons, and was rejected outright. In their feedback, the brothers were told to stick to children's games.
Hmm. Wow.
So, that's harsh.
That's pretty harsh.
Question. Burn. Do you know, are they twins or are they just regular brothers?
They're brothers. Cool. Yeah, regular old brothers, like a few years apart.
Cool.
Yeah, so at that point, they were broke. And they're facing the end of this very short-lived game development career.
Dang.
When a Japanese company, Sunsoft, you may have heard
of. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, company, yeah.
Reached out to them with interest to develop an adults-oriented game that was essentially what they'd already been conceptualizing. It was just, like, lucky that they were approached with an idea that was similar to...
Sunsoft's like, hey, we want a crazy island adventure. And they're like, hey, we happen to be working on that.
What are the chances, you know? And the fact that they just got outright rejected, like their idea got rejected. That's kind of crazy that they were just like approached to do that.
Right.
I don't know. It was destiny. Ooh.
So with Sunsoft backing their project, development of Myst began in 1991. I was 6 years old. With a creative team of seven people. So these seven people made Myst.
Wow.
Actually, compared to some of the other games we've talked about, seven people, that's a pretty good team.
Yeah, I guess for some of these like early indie games, for sure.
Yeah.
But for a game that, you know, I mean, there's a few like standouts, but for a game that becomes like a massive bestseller that holds a record for like a decade, that's still pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, it was the brothers, Rand and Robin, the sound designer, Chris Brandkamp, and 3D artists and animators, Chuck Carter, Richard Watson, Bonnie McDowell, and Ryan Miller. And they made up Cyan Incorporated, the developer behind Myst.
And that company is still even around now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cyan, to my understanding anyways, they're still making games. They've been behind some of the sequels to Myst. I'm not sure if they've been behind all of them, but the company still exists. So they took inspiration from Zork, which was one of the earliest text adventure games made in the mid-70s for its mechanics, Star Wars for its lore, Chronicles of Narnia for its portals to another world, and author Jules Verne for the steampunk science fiction vibe.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you mention that, all that really does make sense.
Yeah, and I like that they took such random things and mashed them together.
Yeah. Yeah, and playing Myst, like, you can spot all of those
influences.
Yeah. It's
just like all the nerd things mashed into one. Yeah.
So, and one more quick thing about Jules Verne, the game's title and the overall solitary and mysterious atmosphere of the island was inspired by the book The Mysterious Island by Jules Verne.
So, okay.
Cool.
Direct influence.
I never actually read that one.
I don't think I've read any of his books. Have you read that one?
Yeah, I think I read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and Journey to the Center of the Earth.
And yeah.
Okay,
like a small children's version of it at some point.
I just watched the really bad movie that came out way back when.
So the brothers thought that a good puzzle would feel familiar and part of the world. Not like a puzzle necessarily, but something for players to figure out, like a circuit breaker in their house, using observation and common sense. If you could call the puzzles in Myst common sense.
Some of them more than others.
Yeah, some of them more than others.
Yeah. And Rand also stated they wanted to make sure that clues to the solutions to puzzles were apparent and presented to the player in a manner for these connections to be made. Once the player finds the solution, if they blame us, he said, then we haven't done a good job. But if they blame themselves, then we have.
Blame themselves for finding the correct solution?
Yes.
It's a weird way to put that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just one other thing to mention, like after it was released in 1993, it faced widespread praise from most critics. Some pullback there. But, you know, for, like, say whatever you want about it, it was the best-selling PC game throughout the 90s. Until The Sims surpassed it in 2002.
Wow. That's cool.
For like 10 years.
I'm surprised I never heard of it before you picked this game. I've like never heard of this game before.
Really?
Ever.
So honored.
Yeah.
I actually had, my dad had a copy of this game he bought for himself. And as a kid, you know, I found it and installed it and played it. And I got about 5 minutes into it. And I was just like, what the hell is going on? What do I do?
Oh, yeah. Because at the beginning, it's super overwhelming. You're just dropped on this island, and there's like a million different buildings, a million different switch. Okay, not a million, but there's like probably 10 buildings, 10 switches, 10 little paths you can walk on. I don't know. There's like a bunch of things to look at, but a lot of buttons to press. Like.
And then I remember my mom coming in and being like, why don't you read the books in the library? And that's when I decided that the game wasn't for me.
This game is lame. It's got a library.
I think maybe one of my favorite aspects of Myst is exactly what you described, that you're just dropped into an island without any context. In fact, like the brothers had talked about not giving you that narrative exposition right in the beginning when he's like, I realized the moment I fell into the fissure, the book would not be destroyed as I had planned, which is like, they thought that was too much. They just like put the book in front of you with nothing. But yeah. That's essentially what you have. And then you click on a picture and it's like, what the heck am I doing here? What am I supposed to do? What's the objective? But that's a major game mechanic of just not knowing what the heck you're supposed to do. It's so cool to me. It appealed to me as like a 10-year-old, and it still is awesome to me now that like that's a mechanic.
Okay, so you played this game when you were 10 years old.
Yes.
Did you beat it when you were 10 years old, or did you play and then come back later as an adult and beat it?
I started playing it when I was 10, and
okay.
By the time I beat it, I was probably 12 or 13.
Oh, wow. So this is like a long-term...
Yeah.
Wow. You really worked on the challenge. It was a challenge.
Yeah, so
like,
I was
that's
actually...
That's awesome.
You mentioned your dad.
Yeah.
So I was introduced to this game by my dad, which... stands out to me because he doesn't play video games at all. Like,
yeah. It's funny. Yeah. Neither does my dad, but he still ended up with this game somehow.
How did y'all's dads end up with this game? Like,
no,
they must have marketed it towards like dads or something.
Yeah. I don't know. It had this weird niche, but like I used to like sit by the computer and watch my dad play this game because it was such a novelty that he was playing a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got into it and he was like, yeah, I think I'm getting somewhere with this puzzle. And my brother and I would just like look at his progress and think that it was like really cool, because even though you're just like clicking around and still images for like the early versions of the game,
yeah,
it's still like you kind of fill in the blanks with your imagination. And I thought the graphics were awesome. Like, and any time a little video scene would play, it like stood out and jumped out of the still image to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, this game is amazing. I felt like I was in the world.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a really good game to like play with someone too, because then you guys can bounce ideas off of each other.
Actually, it was really helpful.
And maybe see something that the other person doesn't see, because you're looking at it from a different perspective, but also you just have another set of eyes. Because, like, one of the things for this game is you want to try to look like every square inch possible, because you never know where like a clue might be.
Yeah.
So having an extra pair of eyes is pretty helpful.
Yeah. Something I discovered just doing the research for the episode is that they actually beta tested the game that way, with two people playing it at the same time. And Rand Miller would just sit behind them and listen to their conversation. That revealed more about like the player's reaction, because they would talk about what they liked, what they didn't like. When they were both scratching their heads, he would sort of see their thought process. So like the game, like in a way, it was kind of designed around that idea of like two people solving the puzzle as this one avatar in the world.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I would like to, I don't know, that would be super interesting just to hear like early thoughts of your game, especially if you're the one that made it. Like, I bet that was super cool to hear just like people's opinions and just hear like how people are working through like the puzzles that you created, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. If someone was listening to our conversation, he probably would have gotten angry, because they were like, what the heck?
What the fuck, man?
This is stupid. I can't find, like, we can't figure this out. We're going to have to look for a clue on the internet. But, like, I don't, like, people that played it back when this game came out, you know, like, the internet really wasn't a huge thing. And only, like, main information, like, really important information. There wasn't, like, niche websites for little games and stuff.
Yeah,
well, I don't think, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't have even, the internet wouldn't have even existed in 1993.
So, like, the only way you would be able to kind of, like, get a clue or get help would be, like, from your friend that played it.
Yeah.
Someone that you knew probably in person.
Yeah, or I don't know if they had guides back then either. Maybe you could spend money on like a guide or something.
There might have been something like that. I think if there was an AOL keyword, like missed strategy guide, AOL keyword, if you remember those.
Yeah.
Like the early internet, you know, pre-Google, if there was like a strategy guide out there, you couldn't just like rely on a search engine to find it for you. You'd have to know where to look and like have some savviness just for that aspect, like searching it out.
Yeah.
And so for the most part,
so like, you'd have to know like what website it would be on or something like that, so you could go to that specific site and see if they had it for you to download.
Well,
could you download it back
maybe
then?
Something like that. Yeah. But I guess in my own personal experience, like, I was playing this game. I had friends at school that were playing the game, and we each had like handwritten, hand-drawn notes.
Wow.
And they were like similar. Like, we drew the constellations like in the game from the observatory. We mapped out that puzzle in the Selenitic age with like the rail car puzzle. Like, somewhere in some box is probably like my hand-drawn maps and notes from being like 10 and 11 years old, like trying my hardest to like get through the game, you know?
Yeah,
you really do have to map out that track. That's how we did it too. I don't think there any way you could do it without mapping it out.
Because
there's so many dead ends and, you know, multiple turns and stuff.
Yeah, you would definitely get lost in there.
So I was drawing a little map. I'm like, I'm trying to watch for the curves to see if you change the direction, so you know which way you haven't been yet.
Yeah.
So Eric, do you have any fun facts?
I've always wanted to do this. Yes, I have some fun facts.
Fun facts.
Fun facts.
Nice. My favorite part.
Yeah.
I have one fun fact, but you might already have it, so I'll wait and
see if you say it. You're the fun facts pro. I'm just honored to be a part of this whole process.
Okay, the only reason I looked this up is because I was like wondering if the brothers in the game were the actual brothers that created the game. And I think they are, right?
They totally are.
The actors, it's so funny. I was like, they've got to be real brothers because you can tell they look alike.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anyways, I looked that up specifically, but without looking up any other spoilers. But
and to piggyback off of that, so yes, they are the only actors in the game. It's the creators, Rand and Robin Miller. And Rand plays both Atris and Akinar.
I thought Atris looked familiar. Yeah, and not old enough to be their dad. But then again, he was stuck in a book, so anyway.
Unless it's possible to be your own father somehow. Yeah. Some time travel.
He pulls a Clark Kent for that character. All he does is put on glasses, and he's Atris. And you didn't notice.
So the next time, I didn't notice, yeah.
You're harping on Superman? Just know that it worked on you. Like, that's the only costume for that character is a pair of spectacles.
Hey, well, also the graphics and the video in this game are very low quality.
Hey, so we played the remake. You know, we didn't have that excuse. They amped up those graphics as much as they could without messing with the original video. So yeah, actually the original video in there is actually still kind of bad quality.
Yeah. It's still not great quality, but it is way better compared to the original one.
Yeah. Well, and if you ever find yourself even just showing the game to someone else, there's been so many remakes and ports since then that have pretty solid, impressive graphics, actually impressive graphics, that it now you have this full appreciation of, making that reconstructed version of Myst. Like, you've played through the real thing, which I have respect that you guys actually did that.
Thank you. Yeah, wasn't that bad.
No, it was a good game. I think once we got kind of past the first, the initial island where you're thrown, it gets a lot easier, or not easier, but I don't know. It's easier to keep the momentum going, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting started is tough, but once you figure out that there is an objective at all, I think that was a major step for me playing the game, is that first, I'm just sort of clicking around, and I didn't yet realize it was a puzzle game with an ending.
Yeah.
You have to stumble onto that with no context, right?
Yeah.
It's okay, there's actually something to do, and I'm supposed to solve, a mystery, I guess. Yeah. But that wasn't apparent to me, just starting out.
Yeah.
So I have a couple other fun facts.
Ooh, yes.
The soundtrack to Myst, which is, my favorite component of the game.
That's a good soundtrack.
Was an afterthought.
Oh.
At first, the game had no music. The brothers wanted the player to feel entirely alone with only ambient noises of the environment.
Wow.
Trying to reimagine Myst with only wind.
No, yeah, I probably would have just ended up playing my own music.
So after some tests, they decided that background music seemed to really help the mood of certain places, and younger brother Robin composed 40 minutes of music over the span of 2 weeks. All the sounds, effects, and mixing were done on an Emu Proteus synthesizer. And I thought this was fun. Cyan initially released the soundtrack via a mail order service until Virgin Records acquired the rights, and an official CD was released in April 1998. 5 years after the game's
release. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's so cool. And what's up with all these video game developers just being so talented they can just whip up music and
just
whip up a soundtrack to a game it's nothing.
Go to my keyboard and make some fantastic music.
I'll just create 40 minutes of music, just pull it out of my butt. What? They're just I don't know. I just love how talented people are.
I love that soundtrack. And the fact that it almost wasn't made and he was whatever. It's all on the same synthesizer, right? All in hardware. This is pre, digital audio workstations and using software instruments and stuff. He just mapped it out on a synthesizer and was here you go. and it's I still will listen to that soundtrack as background music.
It's very good background music.
Yeah.
It really,
study or,
it really gets you into the mood to, I don't know, think maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I agree. I think that most of the songs really do get you in the mood for certain islands or certain levels that you have to do.
Yeah. my last fun fact is kind of a fun opinion. More than a fun fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a trilogy of books that's based on the lore of Myst. It's the Book of Atris, the Book of Tiana, and the Book of Denis that were written by the Miller brothers along with author David Wingrove. And I've read them, and they're like shockingly good. Like really, really good. The first book in particular is a prequel to the events of Myst. And right as the book ends, we did say like massive spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
But as the book ends, Atris drops a linking book into a disturbance called the Star Fissure. And the book falls through the fissure to be picked up by the stranger in Myst. That is you.
Oh.
So the last words of the book are the opening narrative of the game.
It literally
picks up right at the end of that book.
Wow.
That is neat.
You can buy it. So it's as a trilogy, too. You can buy it. It's called The Myst Reader. But it's just all three of those novels in one. But yeah, I read those books in middle school, and like I was like, why does nobody talk about these books? They're really, really good. If I read them again, maybe I'd be like, oh, a middle schooler would like this.
Yeah, true.
At the time, anyways, like the impression it left on me was like, these books are awesome.
That's awesome. So it kind of just expands on the lore of Myst. That is interesting because I did have that question, like, who are you and how did you get to Myst? Because that's never explained at any point. And that's cool that it actually, you do have that explanation now.
Right. Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of. Like, because who are you? Like, in the context of Myst, you are you. Like,
yeah.
Like, you, the player, are the avatar. There is no, like, third-person avatar. All the emotions and thought processes that you're going through trying to solve this game and figure things out are also those of a character in this story. So it really, like, the whole game is fourth wall breaking, you know, because it's you.
Yeah.
You're the stranger.
It's like they have the mirror right there. It was me the whole time.
Yeah.
It was me the whole time.
Is that all the fun facts?
That's all of my fun facts. Yes.
Ooh. I don't have any more.
You don't have any more?
I just had the one.
Just the brothers.
Did you have any fun facts, Eric?
No.
Oh. No surprise fun facts from
okay,
other
I have
Eric.
One more. I have one more because I was like, no, they're going to cover this one.
Surprise fun fact.
So there was a parody of the game called Pyst.
Oh, no.
P-Y-S-T. That I remember seeing like boxes and boxes of this game like in bargain bins outside of electronics boutique in the mall.
Oh, no.
Like I couldn't get rid of them fast enough. But it's narrated by John Goodman. Like,
oh my God, wow.
And it's like you're warped onto Myst Island and everything's been vandalized by people who were frustrated with the game. So I've only like peeked at it, but like I know that the cost of making that parody, which bombed completely, was more expensive than the cost of making Myst.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the best-selling game for a decade, you
That's
know?
That's so funny.
Well, I imagine most of the budget was spent on John Goodman.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Even back then, he was probably still a bit big actor.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been pretty big back then, too.
He'd have been on Roseanne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, that's not
free. I mean,
free.
I get the idea, though. I bet someone played it, and they were like, this is how I feel, and I need to make a game to, like,
I need
show
to
my frustration.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it flopped so much. I don't know. Yeah. I like feel like more people could like get on board with that.
So I did have a question about the story. And since you kind of read the books and stuff, the books I didn't know exist until until 5 minutes ago, maybe you can help me out with this. So Atris, is he like writing these worlds into existence, or is he writing books that link to worlds that already exist?
Ah, I'm so glad you asked that.
Good question, Eric.
So, in the lore behind Myst, and this does connect to the game, because at the end of the game, Atris reveals that he is facing a foe greater than you could imagine. The foe he's referring to is his father, Gen. And in the books, they specifically, like what you just mentioned, you know, are they creating these worlds or are they linking to worlds that have existed before? That question is never fully answered, but there's sort of a dark side, light side conflict going on where the people who have this ancient art of age writing, some of them play God with it, and they believe wholeheartedly that they're creating these worlds into existence and the people in them. And Atris believes otherwise, that they're linking to an infinite span of universes.
Ooh.
Even if you're, you know, writing an age that is, you know, a narrow room, you know, the whole universe could just be a 20-foot square space. But that is like a dimension that exists and you're just linking to it.
Oh, wow. So this is debated within the whole mist realm yes. as well. Wow.
And never answered. So I don't have a definitive answer, but that's like one of the huge moral dilemmas with people who practice this art. And just when you think like it's solved, that it's one way, like, okay, we've decided that these books are linking to worlds, and then a book will get altered or destroyed in some way. And like, you know, the people either do or don't retain memories sometimes, and it seems like they've been created into a space, or it's like never answered.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Interesting. It's like they don't want you to know.
So that was a long way of saying you don't know.
but factually, he doesn't know because of the story, and because even the characters don't know.
Yeah. No, that's fine. You could just say, I don't know.
I don't know. I like...
Yeah, I don't know.
I like your answer. I like your answer.
Yeah, maybe, you know. So in the good ending, I'm using quotes. I know you can't see that. The good ending.
Air quotes.
Atris seems pretty chill about murdering his children. I mean, his children are bastards, but he's still like, yeah, whatever, they won't bother you anymore. And then you get back into the mist world and you see that you've just like scorched their books.
Yeah, their books are just gone.
Yeah, it's hardcore. Yeah.
I mean, how does Catherine feel about her sons being murdered? I mean, where is Catherine in this whole game?
Well, you'll have to play Riven.
Oh, which, is that a whole nother game?
Yep, that's the sequel.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I guess, is Catherine in that one?
Yeah, if I remember right. So I never beat Riven.
Okay.
As difficult as Myst is, I would say that Myst is solvable by anybody who's determined to do so. And Riven, I would say that it maybe isn't. Like, unless you're like really, really super into like logic puzzles and you're planning on spending a long time in that world. Like,
so they took Myst and they amped it up even more.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And of course, this isn't an episode about Riven, but like, man, that's a whole other beast. Like four CDs that like you would like warp to other worlds and you'd have to like change out the CD.
Oh gosh.
And the load time to change out the CD was part of what made the game so frustrating. Like not even the game itself, just like switching CDs was so annoying that I think that probably, you know, like a lot of people were turned away just of that.
Oh yeah.
An issue that probably wouldn't exist today.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, maybe you should retry it now. Any more questions, Eric?
Nah, that's pretty much it. Do you have anything, Nikki?
No.
You got nothing crazy stood out to you about the story?
Oh, well, nothing that I have questions about.
Hey.
Child murder.
Child murder. It works every time.
They weren't really children. They look like grown men.
Yeah. They could have been tried as adults.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I guess it still is his children, though, so... But he created bastards. It's kind of his fault.
Yeah, I mean,
he gave them too much power.
He was too busy with his worlds. He didn't spend enough time with his kids.
Yeah.
I think that's the moral of the story.
Spend quality time with your kids when you can. That's what Salt and Peppa says.
Don't just go creating worlds.
So, I guess just one more thing having to do with murdering children. you do link back to the library and you see that the books have been torched, but. Cycling to that earlier argument, whether these worlds are created or linked to, it's arguably worse if he torched the books and the world wasn't destroyed with them in it, and they're literally in there for eternity.
Oh man, yeah. That's so much worse.
Yeah.
Ugh.
A fate worse than death.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right, and on that note,
I'm like, what do I think happened? I don't know.
What did you like about the game, Nikki?
So, I have a lot of things that I like about this game. One thing I'll say is that this is a really good brain exercise game. It gets you thinking. You have to think in multiple different kinds of ways. The puzzles are not simple. You know, they're like multiple parts. And yeah, you kind of, like we were saying earlier, you start off on this island with no context of what to do. You're just basically walking around looking at everything, trying to figure out what to do. And you're pressing all the buttons, moving all the switches around, looking for any numbers, any kind of pictures that'll give you a clue. But yeah, at first you're just wandering around. But slowly, once you start to kind of solve the puzzles, I think you start to kind of understand like what to look for and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's kind of like a gradual build, but I feel like it's a good brain like exercise game.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is really satisfying when you do start figuring it out and getting some of the puzzles right without cheating.
Yeah, without cheating. Hey, we only got clues on like two puzzles, right?
Dang. I only cheated three times, you know. It's pretty good, I think.
Cheated sounds so harsh.
So, like, I'm a teacher, and sometimes I'll, like, stumble across, like, a note that was passed from one student to another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be, like, you know, can you believe what so-and-so said? You know, and it's, like, I've arrived in the middle of a story, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I can try to connect the dots and create this, like, plot line, and, like, that... I feel like Myst is that experience in like a game form where you're just like, you don't know of the story going into it, but it like organically reveals itself. And you're like, wait a minute, this is connected to that other thing. And you're like making practical connections.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're dropped in and picking up the world as you're kind of playing through.
Yeah. And there's actually like a pretty in-depth story that like slowly reveals itself.
Yeah. One of the things I liked is, I know we already talked about it, but the music and sound ambience, they really like draw you in and kind of create an immersive experience. When you're playing the game, you really do kind of feel like you're part of this world. It's actually really cool what they've done, I feel like, because you don't see it done that way in a lot of other games. Especially for 1993.
Yeah. I think really they did good. A really good job with the music of having it be there and its presence is there and noticed, but it's not taking over anything. It's not distracting you necessarily. It's more upsetting the mood, you know? Like, I don't know, I was playing Tetris earlier, and obviously that music is supposed to make you feel like all hyped up and stuff and kind of make you feel anxious. You know, I didn't feel like that with the game. I felt like it either got you in kind of like a mysterious mood or like, I don't know, some parts were kind of eerie. Like, yeah. I think I did a good job of.
And then when you kind of like solve the world, you get sometimes you'll get like a triumphant kind of music. It sounds like, oh, you know, you get the happy, satisfying, like you've completed the world, you know, everything is happy and good music. Yeah, it's really good.
There's that one puzzle, like, it's the rocket ship on mm-hmm. the island. I think that's the portal to the mechanical age, if I remember right.
But yeah.
That puzzle, like, you can't be tone deaf to solve
no.
that puzzle. And I remember, like, solving that puzzle for my friends.
Oh, yeah.
They'd be like, oh, you can do that puzzle? And, like, I felt so special, like, fifth grade me, like,
yeah.
getting
yeah.
people into the rocket ship portal.
I love
that's
that puzzle.
That's true, because we did that together, and we were like... I don't know piano, so I was like, oh, it's the fifth white key over. And Eric's like, oh, that's C. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then we were like humming doing it, humming it, and then walking over to the other one, like, oh, okay, that matches.
Go back and forth, C, C, C. Okay, yeah, that one's good.
Right?
That's, yeah.
Yeah, like not only do you have to like find the pitch, but you have to like keep the pitch in your head,
mm-hmm.
click around, like back to the little slider thingy, and like, slide the pitch into place.
Yeah.
And if somebody is tone deaf, that would be like
oh yeah
really challenging.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I feel like I loved all the sound puzzles, actually. There are several sound puzzles throughout, and they're all really cool and satisfying when you get to them.
Yeah, I was about to say that, too. I like the music and sound puzzles. They're fun.
Yeah. You have any pros, Eric?
So I had also mentioned the music and sound design. Like, obviously, that's my career field. Like, yeah. And I think that Myst had some part of, like, my career choice. There's like listening to like Michael Jackson records, you know, when I was like a little kid, and then like playing this game made me think like video game design is really cool, and like how much of a like an immersive experience the sound was in the game.
Yeah,
left like an impact on me. So I put that in there. The atmosphere, the feeling of loneliness in a video game.
Yes.
I think was like uniquely well presented here, where it's like, you're dying to see like another face, an enemy, something.
Yeah.
If a Goomba were to jump out for you to like defeat, you know, like you just crave some kind of connection, which is exactly how, you know, your character would feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
The closest you get is kind of seeing those messages from the brothers.
But they kind of, they're broken up and they don't really come through very
exactly.
well. So you don't even get, that's not even that satisfying because you don't really get to hear very much of what they're saying.
They don't even give you a companion cube or like a or like a Wilson or anything. You're totally on your own.
Volleyball with the face would make this game 100 times.
Yeah. And my last pro was that I find it genuinely thought-provoking, because like whenever I bring this game up with somebody who's also played Myst, like it's more than just like, oh yeah, I played that game too. Like it always leads to some kind of deep philosophical discussion about like, oh, are you creating the world? Are you linking to the world? Are we all just playing God? And like, I can't think of like another video game that has that same effect on conversation.
Yeah.
With me,
yeah.
So I'm really thankful for Myst.
Nice.
Awesome. I like the story in the game.
Yeah, I actually had that.
I really like the crazy ass brothers. Like they crack me up, and they're so ridiculous and so like extra.
Yeah, they definitely played out the characters, and I love that. It's like the more you listen to either one, you're like, okay, this guy is definitely evil.
Did you lean more towards one brother than the other though? Because I would
go back and forth, because like at one point one of them will like start to sound more reasonable, and then they'll say something that sounds super evil. I'm like, you had me for a second.
I liked which one was the blue brother?
Akinar.
I liked him more than Cirrus. I don't know why.
I like Cirrus more.
Cirrus just seemed more evil. I don't know. They're both kind of evil.
I don't know. Akinar sounded like psychotic.
I mean, really, the whole family seems pretty evil. I mean, the dad just killed, like, just destroyed the son's books. So they're either lost in lost in this realm for all eternity, or they died.
Yeah,
both right. Pretty bad.
Yeah. I guess the way that I interpreted it was like the sons each represented like a shade of evil.
Yes.
Where there's like chaotic, maniacal evil, you know, with like torture rooms and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Across. And then there's Cirrus. See, I did it too. and then Cirrus represents like the conniving, like, corrupt genius.
Yeah, kind of lawful evil. Yeah, chaotic evil, lawful evil.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you know, major plot spoiler, but like they're both evil.
Yeah.
Just in different ways, and it takes you on this like moral journey. Like, oh, maybe I jumped to conclusions about Akinar because he's like messed up. You know, he's got some issues, but no, they are both evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In their own way.
I wonder if Catherine's evil too. I don't know.
We'll have to play Riven and find out. So, Eric, did you have any cons about the game?
I do, sadly. As much as I love this game.
I mean, all games have their cons, right?
Yeah.
No game is perfect. Yeah.
So the big elephant in the room, I guess, is that this game has no replayability. Like next to no replayability, unless you're showing someone else, like, except for nostalgia. I had intended on playing through this game again, like, all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Before the podcast, and like I got bored with it because I know all the puzzles.
Yeah,
you know, and it just becomes like, okay, this is a chore because I'm not actually figuring it out.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the elevator to
just going through the motions, basically.
Right. So I ended up, like, I stopped playing through it, even though I love this game. It's just, it's like one of those good movies that you only see once, like Schindler's List or Hotel Rwanda, where it's like, yes, you should see this piece of media, but, like, you're not going to enjoy coming back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And I like in the good ending, you're left to, like, freely explore the island. It's like, great. There's nothing left to explore. I've explored everything. Like, I can go just back.
Maybe actually read all the books that we skipped over.
Hey, I speed read, like, most of those while we were drunk.
Yeah. Good job, Eric.
My second con is that some of the ports since 1993, the game's been released, like, probably dozens of times.
Yeah.
But some of the ports were pretty poor representations of the game. Like the DS one stands out to me, the Nintendo DS.
Oh, really?
I think that in a lot of these cases, like, if that was someone's first introduction into the game, like, that's a sad day. They didn't get, like, a good portrait of the game. They didn't get a good representation.
So the Mist or the DS version was pretty bad. Like, what was bad about it? Do you remember?
So the thing that because I had that game for DS, and you know how playing the game is like a series of still images.
Yeah.
But the screen on the DS is so tiny that some of the tiny little details and things to touch, like, you could barely even see it, and you'd have to, like, shove it up to your face.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
Like, the screen resolution wasn't good enough.
That would make for a pretty bad experience.
Yeah, you kind of need a big screen for this, because you have to look... Yeah, you have to pay attention to all these tiny little details and
for
stuff.
For sure, yeah.
Some of the buttons, especially, even like, at the beginning, that first button to rotate the island.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we could not find,
like,
that.
Holding the tower.
Yeah, we could not find that. We had to. That's one of the things that we had to look up.
I'll say this: this is one of my cons, and it's purely about this remake, because I went back and I watched, like, the video of the original Mist, and in the original Mist, that first puzzle where you rotate the tower, like, the dot is at least blinking, and your cursor will change while you're on top of it. In this particular remake, that dot you're supposed to click on is just a solid white dot, and it looks like the entire rest of the diagram. So there's no indication that you need to click on it, and even your cursor doesn't change. So if you click anywhere else on the diagram, it will take you out from looking away from it, I guess.
Yeah.
So you have to know that you need to click on that specific dot, and I don't know why they decided to do that and make that puzzle even harder.
Sorry.
Because that was, like, the first thing we had to look up. Because
that leads you to all the other clues
You can't get to any of the clues before you, like, you can't really do any of the puzzles until you do that first thing.
One of my cons, actually, to piggyback off that, is if you're not playing this on a computer, I'm sure on a computer when you're using a mouse, like, the controls are a lot easier, but we were playing on Switch, and so, I don't know, it was just like, if you didn't have the cursor on the exact... like, area, if you messed up at all, it kind of, like, takes you back out, and then you have to go back in, and, like, sometimes you would have to start over or whatever, and I don't know, I would just get frustrated because I would accidentally be clicking on the wrong stuff, and I'm like, ah.
Yeah, trying to control a cursor with a joystick is, you know.
Yeah. I would definitely recommend playing this, like, on a computer for sure, rather than the Switch.
Although, I'll say, like... That was really my only complaint. The rest of the game on Switch actually looks really good. There's a frame rate issue, I think, in the jungle on the when you're up in the trees.
Yeah.
But other than that...
Channel Wood Age.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, the Channel Wood Age. That's what I was trying to say. But other than that, like, the game is actually pretty gorgeous on Switch.
Oh, yeah. Another con that I have is that if you're not a detailed-oriented person... Or maybe you should just know going into it what to expect. Like, I feel like for me, it's always good for me to have, like, a reliable expectation, I guess, of what to expect. Yeah, expectation. So, like, if you're going to play this game, just know that it's, like, hard, complex puzzles. You're going to have to be very tedious and detail-oriented. If that's not your thing, this probably isn't the game for you, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think if you aren't that person, maybe playing it with someone else who is detail oriented, that could be fun. But yeah, you might get like impatient with the game and want to like rage quit if that's not like your personality or that's something hardcore. That you like to do.
Rage quitting Myst.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's been many rage quits on this game.
Hey, they like made that whole pissed game that's for a reason. So I'm sure multiple people have rage quit Myst.
Speaking
at
of
least
rage
like
quitting.
Back in the day before there was like hints and stuff.
Yeah. So my last con is something like I almost rage quit the game. With this puzzle, and I love Myst, but the Maze Runner puzzle in the Selenitic Age, that's the rail car.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. you have to like map out. I just don't think that's a very fun puzzle. I had to like as a kid, I remember like drawing out the map and I was like, this feels like homework. It was so frustrating. I think that was a part that had stumped my dad too.
Oh and no.
It gives you like sound clues throughout mm-hmm. the puzzle, yeah. but like, some of them aren't super obvious, and
some of it's just no sound at all. I figured that no sound was dead end.
Yeah, like you're going in the wrong direction or something. Actually, that did hold true because the right direction always had a sound.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was easy to get turned around, and I feel one thing that helped us was that we had kind of a two-person team doing it.
Oh yeah.
So I was doing the map. Nikki was doing the controls, and she was telling me like, okay, we can't go north, we can go northeast, we can't go east, you know. And so I was drawing out the possibilities, so if we needed to come back.
Yeah.
And it actually made it like not too bad.
Yeah, I actually liked that puzzle, but I could see as a kid not liking that puzzle at all. I probably wouldn't have been able to.
I'm glad
actually
you
would never have gotten that far as a kid, because like I know my little kid brain and I would not have gotten that far. But
there's like more than one angry rant about that puzzle in particular. Enough that Robin Miller like stated in an interview that it wasn't like his best work.
Oh.
It wasn't a good puzzle.
Oh,
so
I thought it was a good puzzle, yeah. But I don't know. My opinion.
Yeah, you make the case for the Maze Runner.
It could also like be just like playing as a kid versus an adult too, and then playing as a team versus playing by yourself.
Yeah, I think it's a good team puzzle, honestly. My last con is, my biggest thing is just that first island. You're given so many different like puzzly things in that first island, and you know, you think, okay, maybe the answer is going to be in all these books. You're just overloaded with information right off the bat, and there's no clear, obvious solution to those until you do like one specific thing. And once you figure it out how to get to the first four clues, then it's good. Then you're like, okay, yeah, I can use these clues, and this becomes so much easier. I kind of wish they didn't put those all in the same exact spot, so maybe you could stumble upon one in a different way to help you get going, because you really don't need all those in the same. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like they didn't need to all be in the same spot.
I guess it would have helped. Mm-hmm. And one last thing that I didn't really like, or not didn't like, but I just felt like maybe it could have been more epic, is the ending. You're like, do all of the stuff to like get all these pages, and then at the end, you get maybe like a two minute explanation for like what happens. I don't know. We saved it right before we went down the chimney for like the, or went, I guess that was the first time you go in the chimney or whatever.
Yeah.
But, so that we could see all three endings, and I don't know. I was just expecting like it to be more. It was just like, two of them, you get trapped in the book. And then if you choose the dad, which is like Eric's first,
yeah,
like,
my instinct was they're like both don't touch the green book.
Yeah, like, Eric was like, we're touching the green book.
Yeah, let's touch the green book.
And so that's the one we got first, and then like, so that was the dad, and it's just like, okay, well, I guess that's a good one because you're not getting trapped in a book. But also, I don't know, I don't feel like it could have maybe been more satisfying.
So there's actually four endings to Myst.
Yeah, so we got three. Well, we got three, but we looked up the fourth one, and what was the fourth one? Oh, just not doing the
if you'd
the page in the book, right? Yeah.
Warp to Denis without the page. He insults you, and that's like my favorite ending.
Is it? Oh, that's the one we didn't do.
It's funny. Because he, like, specifically is like, you need to bring this page with me so we can get out of here.
Yeah.
And you, like, warp to it without the page. And he's like, what kind of a fool are you? Did you not take me seriously? And he's like, well, this is your new home forever.
Nice.
And you can actually, like, you know, click around the room and, like, watch him write at his desk and stuff. And yeah, the game just ends and you're trapped there forever.
The end. That's awesome.
That's fun.
But yeah, I don't know. I just felt like maybe they could have wrapped it up a little more. More excitingly.
Gotta tease that sequel.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to strategy. What kind of strategy did you use, Nikki?
I have a lot of little pieces of strategy. I don't know if there's like a overall strategy, but
yeah, I mean, all the puzzles are different.
So. Yeah, exactly. So like one thing that I've already said a bunch of times is you have to look everywhere. You have to look at every little thing, everything that you think could be a button, everything that you just look at the walls, look at the ceiling, look at the floor. You want to just look all around because
yeah,
you might miss something. Yeah, if you it's don't.
Definitely trial and error heavy. So you try stuff, it doesn't work. You keep looking around, you try stuff again, and maybe you come back with a better idea or you try something in a slightly different way. It helps you solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Like I'm thinking of that one puzzle where you had to line up the numbers 2, 2, 1, and one lever spun the top two numbers, the second lever spun the bottom two, and then you keep doing it and you're like, there's no way to actually solve this puzzle until you hold one down too long, and then you see that if you hold it down longer it will spin the middle. Yeah, it just
that's
stuff
what happened
like that
to me. I was like trying it and then I accidentally held it down. I was like, oh, it moves again if you hold it down.
I almost Whoa. Felt like that was like almost like a troll puzzle before troll puzzles existed. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I liked it. It's like that's another thing, like I'm saying, you gotta, it's not even just noticing all the things. It's like you want to try different ways of pulling the levers and stuff like that. Or if it's a wind-up thing, try winding up a little, try winding it up the max amount. Just different kinds of ways.
So I have a strategy.
Okay. Ooh, go for it.
Anyone who is playing Myst for the first time, I suggest that they play it with a notebook.
Yes.
A pencil.
Oh, yeah.
I have that as well.
Which is cool because, like, the whole game is about writing, you know? Like, these, like, writers battling it out, and, like, there you are with your, like, notepad and, like, taking little detective notes and stuff. Like, that's my memory of the game, is, like, going back and forth to, like, a sketchbook and, like, drawing the constellations and, making maps of the island and stuff. Like, I mapped every age.
Wow.
Nice.
Dude, that's awesome.
I have that too, but I also, because we played it now, it's like you can take pictures with your phone.
Yeah, we actually we mostly just took the pictures of the constellations and stuff.
Yeah, with our phone. But some stuff we still did, it just still did help to write it out.
Yeah, the map definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you can do that without writing it out.
Yeah.
Or drawing it out.
Yeah, and just remembering like what order things go in and stuff like that so you don't forget that kind of stuff. Yeah. Pen and paper and your phone.
Yeah. I also feel like there were some hints in those books that I skipped mostly, but you had to read the right one before going to the right age. Like you had to be able to match it up, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. There's like specific books, you know, the few books that aren't destroyed in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one for each age that gives you like really pertinent information about what to expect, you know, that there's, that like sound plays a pivotal role, and you actually have to read the like the journal entries about
Boo.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, the problem
just kidding,
the problem for me though is I, you know, you don't know which book lines up with which age. Like once you get to the age, you can't go back and like look through the books, okay, what book is this age? You kinda
That's true.
It's almost stuck. Like you have to have an earlier save point if you want to read up on it so you can reload that first island and go back to the library.
Yeah.
Or just start a new game or something.
Yeah. I have another one. Don't listen to the brothers. They're both liars and cheaters, bad people. Don't listen to them.
That's good advice, I think.
I think the first ending that I got, like, I legitimately was like, nope, we're going blue. I'm going team blue. We're trusting Akinar.
That's what I wanted to do. And Eric was like, no, green book.
Yeah. Green book. Then I learned differently. I was like, fuck. I guess they're both evil. I just had the sense that Cirrus was the evil one.
Well, he had a goatee. Yeah, everyone in the 90s who was evil always had a goatee.
Yeah, and a ponytail, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing is just, like, take your time. Like, walk around, look at stuff. Don't, like, try to speed through these puzzles.
Yeah,
because if you're trying to just do it fast, you're just going to get frustrated, and it's just be patient.
Yeah,
be
and patient with this like game. I said, they'll probably take several attempts to solve a puzzle. Like, you're probably not going to get it the first time you go up to it. But and some puzzles require other clues. Like, you have to have other clues before you can complete that puzzle, and you don't know it because sometimes you'll get a piece of that puzzle and it's not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that one sound puzzle, you'll go around, you'll hear all the sounds, but you won't know what order to put them in until you solve a later puzzle.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Do you have any other pieces of strategy?
No. Look up cheats on the internet.
What about you, Eric?
I think that's about it for strategy.
Yeah.
You know, the game is so, like, exploratory, that, you know, there's not a lot of strategy that you can have other than be observant,
true,
click on things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, record what you see, you know, because there's not, like, a mechanic that relies on any sort of reaction time, you know.
That's true. Other than the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one, but you have plenty of time.
That was one that we had to look up.
I was confused by that. Okay, so moving on to the future. So we played the 2014 remake of the game, which tries to be pretty faithful to the original. There's also a more recent reimagined version of the game that can be played in VR that came out in August this year. I think we were talking a little bit about that earlier.
Yeah. I watched a YouTube video earlier today, and it had pretty much the screen divided up into four screens. So it had the original, it had the year 2000 version, the 2014 version, and then the 2021 version. And it just showed, like, different parts of the game just so you could see, like, how different they looked.
Yeah.
And the VR one definitely looks the most different out of all of them. Even, like, the parts with the brothers, it doesn't have them as the actors. It looks more like an animated character instead of, like, their actual selves. But the VR one looks like it would be fun to try. Like, that might be one you might actually want to replay, because that one would be, it looks pretty different. I'm not sure if, like, the actual puzzles are different, but
it'd probably
be different enough.
They called it a reimagining, and I don't know quite what they mean by that.
Yeah, from what I saw just in that video, which wasn't a playthrough or anything, a lot of it looked pretty close. Like, there were a lot of the parts that I think they were pretty much the same as the like main game.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it's very different, but it does look much more real, obviously, you know.
Cool. The other future thing is they had a pretty good April Fool's prank earlier this year.
What'd they do?
It was a trailer for Mist Saber. Kind of like Beat Saber, except, you know, you have fountain pens and it's Mist music playing. And you see, like, one of the brothers lit up and, like, these crazy lights in the background and, blocks are coming at you.
Nice.
That's pretty funny.
Didn't know anything about that.
It was a April Fool's prank. But
I guess you would only know, like, if you followed Mist on Twitter or something.
Or, you know, or you're just paying attention to Mist-related news.
Yeah, true. Maybe you got a Google search Mist, so, you know, you get, like, notified whenever they pop up in the news.
Did you guys find anything else for the future?
No, I couldn't find really anything.
Okay. Well, I mean, they just came
except
out with
for,
something.
Yeah,
so,
except
I mean,
for that.
So I did, like, in my research, I did see that, like, they have sold rights to make, like, TV shows and movies and, like, various pieces of media that were all sort of, like, in development indefinitely. There are entities that own those rights. to create like TV series and stuff. They just haven't done anything with it.
Okay.
Huh. I honestly think a TV series would be pretty good.
Oh yeah. I could see that.
There's a lot of lore. There's a lot to play with, like with the creation of worlds and stuff. That could be a lot of fun. Maybe one of the issues is there aren't a lot of characters, at least in the game, but I don't know how the books do they expand on the amount of characters in the books, do you know?
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, like, the Suns and Atris are a big part of the books, but also Gen, which is Atris's father, that you get to meet in Riven. Catherine is, like, a speaking important character in the books. And this whole... There's, like, a race, like a dying race of people, and it's underneath the Earth. Like, the world of Denis is actually, like, on planet Earth, underground.
Ooh,
and sort of like another nod to Jules Verne, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like the home world of these people that have written the age books where they can link or create other worlds.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really neat.
So there's a lot of opportunity for more side stories to just be added in by writers.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Cool.
So, as you probably noticed, we did not complete the challenge because we already said multiple times that we looked up help on the internet.
Yeah, I'll list the times we cheated.
Oh, God.
So, we looked up
the list of shame.
Yeah, the list of shame. So, we looked up how to rotate the tower on the first island because we didn't know how to do that. We looked up that we needed to get off the elevator before it went down on, like, the Gear Islands.
Is that the mechanical age?
Yeah, mechanical age. That's what I was trying to say. And the third one was we looked up that we needed to float the treasure chest on the pirate ship.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
But yeah, those were the three times we were forced to cheat.
Yeah.
We didn't want to cheat. We were just so stuck.
We tried.
Pretty good. Only three times.
Yeah. And, you know, once you cheat once, it's like, well, we already cheated. We're already going to face the consequence of rapping.
I feel like the one I feel most bad about is the treasure chest one, because I think if we kept doing stuff, we could have gotten that, if nothing else, but inadvertently.
Yeah, I think so, too, because I had an idea that it was connected, but I was thinking it was the other way. I thought if it dropped, it would break, but then that didn't work. But then it ended up being the floating thing that made the chain break, whatever. So, anyways.
Yeah, so we do have to wrap. Eric, it sounds like you didn't complete the game either.
That's true. I did, but it was like a long time ago.
Doesn't count unless it was within the last two or three weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can choose if you want to rap. Do you want to rap?
I will reluctantly rap.
Awesome.
We appreciate it.
All right. Well, okay, let's check it out. Welcome to Mr. Island, where you've been dropped. Stranger around here, you might get stopped. Switches, clues, and puzzles everywhere. Look around, use your brain, don't get scared. Two crazy brothers who talk a lot. Seer, Russ, and Akinar thinking the plot. Can't control their greed and all was shot. Now they're stuck in a book taking a squat.
Trapped in the pages, I've been waiting for ages for someone to display us and go out and make changes. You see, my time is dire and my brother's a liar. No time to inquire or sit by the fire. A desire for the entire world began with the old man who made a plan, but things got bland and then got canned. When Akinar planned one final scam, I took a stand, but then got banned. I struck out, he hit a grand slam. I'm a man of the land, not banging trash cans. Please take the exam and get me out of this jam.
I left you a note. Wait, who were you snooping in the books I wrote? I realized the moment I fell into the fissure, some hopeless dope would click on the picture. I made worlds for my sons to explore. Now I'm trapped behind a chimney door. Cirrus, did he show you a smile? Said to bring red pages, maybe stay a while. Perhaps Akinar, with his troubled mind, convinced you to bring every blue page you find. It's no matter, don't mind me. Just been sitting here since 1993. You'll figure it out, at least I hope. Oh, there's a white page in the marker switch there, by the boats.
Been there the whole time.
Wow, you guys killed it. My rap sounds like I'm in slow-mo compared to you guys. And I must say, the beat, Eric, is awesome.
That is
host Eric.
Well, thank you. No, that was a fantastic beat. And you used some of the sound effects from Myst, is that right?
Yeah, so I pulled samples from the soundtrack and also some of like the samples from the game, like Cirrus and Akinar when they meet you. And thank you. You know, beat production kind of, it's one of the things I do.
So. Yeah.
Nice. And moving on, I think we have a new game coming up.
Ooh, yes. It's my turn. Are you ready, Eric? Host Eric.
This is going to be for a Christmas episode, right?
Yeah. I mean, I tried to find a Christmas game, but there's just really not that many out there to pick from. I looked at several lists and it was all like stuff like, oh, it was Overwatch has holiday stuff, or like Call of Duty has like dumb. A holiday thing.
That doesn't count as
that's
a
not
Christmas
really
game.
A whole game. So, in the spirit of Christmas and consumerism, I think I've picked a game that embodies Christmas in America.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Do you want to take any guesses, or is that your guess?
Let's see what else.
Think of a game where you're grabbing as much stuff as you possibly can, and that's the goal.
Katamari.
Yes.
Nice. I love that game.
I do too.
Oh, me too. And I just recently got into this game like a month ago. I don't know. Eric, you rebought it or something?
Yeah, I bought it on Switch again.
It was on sale or something. And I was like, what is this? And we started playing. I think I beat the whole game in like one day. And I had like all these calluses on my hands and stuff because I got so into like pressing the buttons down that, yeah, like my fingers were peeling and stuff the next day. But yeah, so I want to do Katamari Damacy. Is that how you say it?
Damacy.
Damacy reroll.
Katamari Damacy.
Damacy. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I'm always messing stuff up. Always messing stuff up.
No, you're good. You're good.
But so your challenge is
beat the game.
No, you've already beat the game. So I had to come up with something a little more creative. And I don't know. I think this might be kind of hard, but hopefully not too hard since you already beat the game. So
is it physically possible to do this challenge?
Yes, it definitely is 100% possible. So your challenge is to get the Present Hunter Award, which basically means that you collect all the king's presents in the game. There's 15 presents to collect, and you have to find them. Without cheating, without finding a guy. Because there's like walkthroughs and stuff online that will tell you exactly where all the presents are. But if you do that, then that's not really a challenge. So no cheating.
I like that. Yeah, that sounds like a fun challenge.
Awesome. So yeah, I'm excited to get an excuse to play some more.
Woo-hoo. I hope you have to rap.
Yeah.
That would be a fun beat to do. I'm going to shoot my shot live on air.
Yeah.
That would be cool to like take the na, 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 and make that into like a hip hop beat. Like if you guys don't need to rap, I'm just going to make that for fun.
Yeah, do
definitely,
it.
Definitely, man. Do it.
Send it over if we make it like, I don't know. Maybe we can just rap anyways. Yeah. Who knows?
Just rap anyway. But, we'll find some technical reason we didn't get it.
But yeah, I'm sad I couldn't find a Christmas game. There needs to be more Christmas games made.
Yeah, I agree.
Christmas Lemmings.
But or Hanukkah games or just like winter holiday, whatever. I looked up all the things and I really couldn't find that much. Other than like, what was the elf bowling thing where Santa is bowling and like that elves are like the pins. And I was like...
Yeah, that game is horrible.
No,
it was like a flash game that got turned into like a regular game. I don't know. It's just kind of dumb.
But anyways, we'll see you guys next time.
All right, have a good one.
Bye. And as always, if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and also on Twitch. So if you're into any of that, please follow us. And we'd also love to hear what your opinions are. If you have played any of the games that we talked about, let us know what you think. And we'll see you next time.